Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans? And after we heard this morning's gospel, I think it's safe to say that the storm is the norm for our lives. We have storms, we have tests of our faith that enter into our life all the time. It could be a long and painful sickness of a loved one or for ourselves, or the death of a child, family addictions and infidelities, natural disasters, ravages of terrorism and war, financial ruin. Should I go on? I don't have to go on. I think you know what I'm talking about. But here's the question. Why does an all-powerful God go to sleep in our boats and let our storms rage against us? What kind of God is he? Well, the Catechism tells us clearly that we will not understand God's ways fully on this earth. It's only until after we meet him face to face on the other side of death. But we can understand God's ways partially if we understand God's agenda for our lives. Because God has a plan of love for you and for me, for each one of us. It's God's agenda that directs our life and guides us and helps us through life. And God's agenda for our journey on this earth is not that we're going to have perfect comfort and happiness and total pleasure for all of our life on this earth. That's not the agenda. That's not how God made us. Rather, God wants us in our course of life here on earth to attain what we would call spiritual maturity. In other words, he wants us to get ready for heaven, because the main reason why he created us was so that we could be with him forever in heaven. That's the goal of every human being. That's the meaning and purpose of life on this earth. Is that our life on this earth is a way to come to know God and love God and serve God here in this world so that we can be with him forever in the world to come. That's why God made us. But to reach that level of spiritual maturity and to understand that in a good way, we have to get in shape for heaven. And that means learning to trust God more than trusting in ourselves. It means learning that we are not all powerful, but God is. In the classic Old Testament example of someone who had trouble accepting God's agenda for them is from our first reading today from Job. Job had been complaining about all the bad things that had been happening to him. He lost everything, his house, his children, all of his wealth that he had. And Job's complaining about this, and God answers Job by reminding him that the Lord is master even of those bad things, that he controls and limits them according to his wisdom. And God doesn't explain to Job all the reasons behind what he does and how he does it and what he permits. God simply reminds Job that God is all-powerful and that he will never abandon his children. And of course, the greatest example of what I'm talking about is Jesus Christ himself and his own death and resurrection. God didn't will the sins of all those people that caused our Lord's intense, painful sufferings as he died on the cross. But God's love, on the other hand, was powerful enough to turn those wounds of Jesus into the doorway to heaven. And he can do the same for us, because that's God's agenda. Learning to accept our limitations and dependence on God is something that's hard to do, especially today, because we live in technologically advanced era of life on this earth, and that we kind of put our faith in what science can do and make it almost a religion in itself. But the truth is, we cannot make heaven on earth. Science doesn't give us the answer to the most important and deepest questions of our lives, and we cannot save ourselves. You know, faith in scientific progress alone, because it has its place, obviously, in improving our life on Earth, but scientific progress is seductive because it flatters us. It tells us the same thing that the devil told Adam and Eve, which is what? Go ahead, eat of the fruit, because you shall be like gods. That's what the devil says. Don't put your faith in God. Put your faith in other things, because you will be like gods. But of course, that's just as much a lie today as it was at the beginning of creation. And so God continues to give us opportunities by way of the storms that enter into our life so that we can learn to trust in Him and to surrender to Him when it comes to getting through these difficulties of our life. But you know, we have helps, lots of helps to do this, to open our hearts all the more to deeper faith and trust, especially in the time of difficulties. One way that will help us to understand our own limitations and trust all the more in God is to turn our attention to the lives of the saints. You know, the saints are our older brothers and sisters of the faith, the ones who, with the help of Christ's grace, learned how to believe firmly in God's love, and then they learned how to turn every storm into an opportunity. And yet they weren't born saints. They were born selfish, fearful, broken sinners just like you and I. And if we spend some time getting to know their stories, filling our minds and imaginations with their examples, we too will grow in Christian maturity. And that is why the church canonizes saints in the first place, to offer not only intercessors in heaven to pray for us, but also inspiring examples of how to follow Christ. In our sacristy here above the vesting cabinet, we have two relics, more recent saints, of St. John Neumann and St. Faustina. And there's also a statue of Father McNeil up there, too. And he's just, well, never mind. Notice it if you ever come into the sacristy. But anyways, one such saint I want to talk about is St. Carlo Acutis. You know, we renovated two of the classrooms in the office building, the former school building, where the school we have the church offices now and meeting rooms. We made them into meeting rooms. The one is already done, the St. Anne room, and then the one across the hall from that will be called the St. Carlo Acutis room, because he should be canonized by then. But anyway, St. Carlo Acutis was beatified. He was made blessed on October 10th in the year 2020, not even four years ago. And just recently, Pope Francis recognized the second miracle that was attributed to Carlo's intercession, and that paves the way for his likely canonization next year in 2025. Carlo died of leukemia. It was inoperable leukemia that he had. He died of it at the age of 15. He was only 15 years old. But he spent that short time on earth in his native country of Italy, spreading the gospel through the internet and through his writings, especially his writings on the Eucharist. It's amazing how someone so young could accomplish so much. He had a tremendous following. And he submitted to God's will for him in all things, especially when he knew he was going to die, suffering from leukemia. And so you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. But God is laughing not at us, but with us, because he is in charge and has the plan for each one of us. a plan of love. A plan of love for each one of us, so it doesn't matter what storms enter into our life. We know that God's love is always with us.